everyone, and welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Bessa Shio.
And this is the place where we believe that every single couple out there has a chance to have an awesome and happy marriage, and also a long-lasting one, too.
Oh, yeah. Every marriage has a chance to be awesome, fulfilling, and just great.
Pesa and I have been together for 13 years, and we have 4 children, so we just want to be a source of inspiration and also provide encouragement for everybody out there, because we are real people with real problems. So we've been there, and we know that it's not easy, but we also know how rewarding it can be stay together.
Oh, yes.
So you guys can always reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shio.
And I'm at Pesa Shio.
Of course, you can like us on Facebook,
which is Facebook.com/Live Your Best Marriage.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And you can always visit the blog at liveyourbestmarriage.com.
Oh, yeah. So what are we talking about today, Whitney?
So,
at the Live Your Best Marriage podcast.
Well, we know that marriage is not always easy. So
really?
What? So I know that's a huge... huge surprise, but then again, nothing is easy.
Because if it was easy, everybody would be doing. I guess everybody does marriage. Yeah.
So what do you do when you feel like your marriage is in trouble?
I call you.
So today we wanted to give 3 tips, 3 different things that you can consider or that you can just start doing when you feel like your marriage is in trouble, and you want to save it, of course.
Yes.
So the first thing is you need action and a lot of it. And I don't mean the action you're thinking. I mean, like,
oh man, where's your mind?
start doing nice things for your spouse. And there's always that question, okay, well, like, is there an ulterior motive? Like, why are they? Are
why
they
being so
fake?
Nice? Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you so nice? But the truth.
But there's no problem.
No, there's no problem with that. So without being asked or whatever, like, to do something, if there's a chore that they don't like doing, just go ahead and do it.
Okay.
And I know that sounds really petty, but start with the small things and just, or bring them a small gift or just treat them with something nice.
And the way I think about it, the way I think about it is, okay, so your marriage is in trouble and you want to save it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you gave us the idea that you need to take a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of action. So, the way I look at it is you need to take a lot of action that moves you closer to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. You know your spouse better. You guys know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, what kind of action? Don't sit there thinking and trying to figure out, oh, maybe should I read this book and try. No, just what action do you think will get you closer to your spouse? It might be just calling her. It's like, hey, what's up? Or it might be sending her a text. Like, do anything to move yourself closer to her, not doing things to move you away from her.
Now, right.
You might try a bunch of things, and nothing might work because at that time, maybe she's upset or whatever, but just keep pounding in terms of moving closer to her.
Mm-hmm.
And opening up the lines of communication.
Be persistent.
Be persistent in opening up the lines of communication and not ignore the situation that... Because in that movie, Fireproof, who was that dude? The husband.
Caleb.
Oh, yeah, Caleb. So Caleb, there was a point in that movie that he was pretty much, he had given up, right? And he was... The wife was like, yeah, I'm going to sleep in my own room. And Caleb was sleeping in his own room. And basically he wasn't doing any, I guess to me, he wasn't moving closer to his wife. And I know he was in trouble, but he wasn't moving closer to his wife. So in a situation like that, your marriage is going down, because later on he was able to see what was going on, and he's like, I'm going to defend my marriage. Remember?
Yeah.
So at that time, he became cray-cray. I mean, he's doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
things are working, things are not working, but he was moving closer to his wife.
Right.
Emotionally and physically. Right. You know what I mean?
And
yeah. Yeah.
No, you explained it very, very well. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what you need to do, because I was going for the small ticket items, but what Pesa is saying is actually even better, because if you know your marriage is in trouble, then most likely the lines of communication are not very strong.
Yeah.
You're not really either friendly to each other, or you're not talking very much.
Yeah.
And
dude, it's your wife, or it's your husband, you know? Do everything.
Yeah, yeah. So I really like that advice of just being persistent, mm-hmm. and just having that determination to not give up and keep trying to reach them.
Yeah. So I mean, you've sent 10 text messages. Change the, maybe more, be more creative, but try something new. But
mm-hmm.
keep moving forward in terms of trying to open up the lines of communication.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We don't know what will work.
And it's and I totally understand. It is discouraging when you do an act of kindness, or you do something, or you try to talk to them and they don't respond, or they just ignore the nice thing you did. I totally, totally know how hard it is to move on to the next thing and just keep trying. I totally do. Yeah, I do.
What, did you read it somewhere or what?
No, it has happened.
Did you read it somewhere in a book or something?
It hasn't been recent for us, but that has happened.
In a movie?
No, in this marriage. Yeah, so I get it. It is very discouraging, but you have to have the grit to overcome that.
Yeah, you gotta keep pounding.
Move past that. And, they will, your spouse will see a huge change in you. I mean, once, if you become like more agreeable and you just become nicer and you're not as confrontational as you were previously, if you were at all, they'll notice a huge change.
And that word that you just used, be more, like you become more agreeable.
Right.
That is like, that's like magic right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
that's true.
One thing, especially when you're in sales or you're trying to sell something, you know that you'll get something done if you're more agreeable. If it's not about accepting what they're saying, it's basically agreeing with what you're saying. You are taking their point as valid. And when it comes to a marriage, being accepting as valid what your spouse is saying, that's like huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that does not mean that's what you'll do, but you are making it valid.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give an example?
Like an example of...
Being agreeable.
So if you do break through that communication problem, and your spouse says, well, I'm upset with you because of blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You can be agreeable and say, oh, yeah, I mean, I totally see what you're saying, and that wasn't right. I feel bad about that. And just look for ways to bring the two of you closer.
Yeah.
Because that's simply being agreeable. Because
yes.
if you're confrontational about it, if you just start getting defensive...
off the bat.
That just pushes you...
Away, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can say, hey, I totally see where you're coming from. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'll be crazy. I'll be upset even if somebody did that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can now switch it. You can say, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, or, you know, what I was meaning to do, this is
mm-hmm.
what I meant to do.
Yeah.
So you're trying to explain yourself, but you're agreeing with what she said. You're like, yeah, I see where you're coming from. I mean, I'll be upset if somebody did that to me. So I was, but what I was trying to do was, and then you explain yourself. That way, she's what she's saying is she, you agree with her point, but at the same time you are able to explain your point.
Yeah, and one of the best ways to do that is to let your spouse know, it was not my intention to make you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
I really did not do it on purpose.
Yes.
Let them know, like, I did not intentionally hurt you.
I didn't intentionally hurt you. And, folks, we all know, I mean, we live in the real world. And in real world, there's no script. So, I mean, you just have to pull, guys, you just have to pull as many things out of your bag.
Take action.
Over and over. And really, sometimes you might just be at it for a few days as you're trying to trying to get some breakthrough. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Things will work eventually.
He's not talking from experience. So
what? See, we're keeping it real here. I mean,
yeah, there's no perfect thing to say. There's no right or wrong way to go about it. It's just, you just need massive action. Sure. You just need to do something.
And just expect that 90%, if it's a real problematic marriage, mm-hmm. and things are really crazy, because you are at that point, like, you let things get to that point, or just things happen that now we are in that really, 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 really crazy point,
mm-hmm.
you can turn the ship to the right side, but it will take a lot of movement, a lot of like
yeah, it takes a lot of hard work, that's,
I mean,
for sure.
Yeah,
and again, I mean, you can follow up with, you know, bringing the gifts, like a small gift, just to, you know, or ask, you know, hey, I'm going out to get something. Do you want some coffee? Do you want me to bring you coffee? Just, you know, those little
gestures. I mean,
you
can even go and bring her mom and just say, hey, can you talk to her? I mean, you can. I know, I sound crazy. You know, they were talking about this in a church, and they were saying that we have a pastor in our church who also is a couple's pastor, so he does a lot of therapy, and he's like, he gets a phone call mostly from the husband,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, that usually the husband is in the, what is it, frantic mode,
mm-hmm.
Frantic mode, and at that time the husband will admit to everything,
mm-hmm.
including the assassination of Kennedy, just to get his wife into the same room with him, like, things are so bad. And eventually,
because she had begged to go to therapy for so long.
Yes.
And he blew it off.
And now he blew it off. And now when they're in the room together and she's asked, how long has this been going on?
Mm-hmm.
And the wife is like, this has been going on for more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband is like, I just learned about it like a few days ago. So I'm like, if you're in that situation right now, I mean, you'll do a lot of, I'm not saying it's impossible to, you will be, I'm not saying it's impossible to bring back your lady back home, but there'll be a lot of movement, a lot of friction, a lot of like.
That's right.
Yeah, so when we say that there'll be a lot of action,
mm-hmm.
when we say there's a lot of action, we mean
definitely a lot of it.
Yes, we mean
do whatever it takes.
Yes. When we say you need action and a lot of it, yes, you'll need a lot of action.
So motion brings emotion.
Oh, yeah. And there will be a lot of motion and emotion and some commotion.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
So the first one is a bunch of action. What's the second one?
The second one is ask why something bothers your spouse. Don't ask what is bothering them. You need to find out the reason why. So when something offensive is said, or when a situation comes up that makes them very unhappy, you need to ask, why does this bother you?
Yeah.
And that is what's going to help you get to the bottom of it. Because a lot of us, a lot of couples have the same fights over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
It might be a different scenario, but it's pretty much about the same topic. And just similar issues. But once you're able to finally figure out why that specific thing bothers your spouse, then you'll be able to avoid a lot of the things that cause that bad feeling. So it can be anything from financial fights,
yeah,
to jealousy or insecurity fights. And we've talked about this quite a few times.
Yeah, we talked about like same tigers, different stripes.
Right.
And why will bring the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And what will just get her to define him or her, you know, get her to define what bothers her.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going for the emotions because the emotions are, there might be something else tied to them.
Right.
Yes.
So an example that we can give is in a book we read, there was a couple.
Which book?
Oh,
that one. I don't know.
The Blindfolded Marriage.
Oh, okay.
The husband was a traveling salesman, and the wife was a stay-at-home mom. And so they would have a huge... She was totally okay with him traveling and staying in hotels and doing this job. But then his company hired a young, attractive lady to go with him.
As a helper.
For the yes. Like as another salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, so from that point on, every time he was scheduled to leave town, they would have a huge argument. And their normal routine was she would help him pack his bags and get his clothes ready and everything.
Yeah.
But now it was just getting to the point where she didn't even want to help him pack his bag because she was just so upset about this other young lady going with him. And so... Needless to say, it would explode into a huge argument, and he would react, you know, asking her, okay, what is your problem? Why are you so jealous for no reason?
Instead of asking why?
Yeah, like, why are you so nervous about this? But, and then the wife, again, in return, would yell at him, you know, and say, oh, you don't care, blah, blah, blah. But if he could have asked her, why are you so upset about me traveling with this lady? Then she could have started thinking of ways to tell him the reason. And the reason clearly was she was afraid that she would lose him. She was afraid that he would be alone in a hotel somewhere with this lady and then things would go too far.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a reasonable concern, but it was just so sad the way this story ended for this particular couple. And yes, it's a true story. They did end up divorcing.
Oh, they did?
Because they just could not get to the root of the issue. He really believed that she was just being unreasonable and that she was yelling and getting upset for nothing. And so he did actually end up having an affair with that lady.
Oh, she did.
That he was traveling with. So,
worst fear came true.
Her worst fear came true. And so, but he said what pushed him to do that was he was just so tired of the arguing. He was tired of her yelling every time he was about to go out of town.
Mm.
So he was viewing it as we're just having these obnoxious fights.
Yes.
And so he wanted an escape from that, but she just couldn't get over the affair. And so sadly, they did divorce. So when we say ask, why does this situation bother you? That is such a huge help compared to, okay, what is your problem? What mm-hmm. are you talking about? You know, no, really. Ask why, not what.
And also, after asking why, you should ask the why does this situation bother you in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we are not in that frame of mind to even hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Again, sometimes when things are crazy, you're not in the frame of mind to like hear
mm-hmm.
what question
mm-hmm.
you're being asked. You're just like, just talking and mm-hmm. this other person is talking, and so if you can find a way to reframe that question, basically why does this bother you in mm-hmm. many ways, so that that person can be able to, maybe sometimes they can be able to hear it, what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and be able to open up.
Right. So it's totally worth it to just do whatever it takes to find out and mm-hmm. ask, okay, why is this making you so upset?
Yes. And the issue of open up, because now when they tell you why, to a lot of folks now that's opening up, you're going past the what. Mm-hmm. You're going like into a more deeper
mm-hmm.
level. And if they don't feel like they can trust you
mm-hmm.
to tell you, like, now they to be more vulnerable and say why, it might take a minute, it might take a while before you get the answer, because sometimes they have to feel that they are safe around you,
mm-hmm.
that they can actually open up and say, you know what, I feel vulnerable that you will leave me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. And so then when you do receive the answer.
Yes. Don't throw it back to him, like in a mean way.
Right. Right. So we have to be understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you think it's something ridiculous that could never possibly happen, we still need to be respectful.
Yes.
And, you know, just let them know you appreciate them telling you,
mm-hmm.
and that
you
will do the best you can to make sure that, you know, their fears are just put to rest. And you can.
So in this situation, what if the tables were turned in such a way that he was able to ask the right question, mm-hmm. and she's felt secure around him to reply that it's because she feels like he's gonna leave her and have an affair with that lady. What should he have done if he got a response like that?
Well, when she was basically insisting that he ask for a different assignment.
Okay.
So that he doesn't travel with this lady.
Yes.
Because she knew that they would be on the plane together and then rent a car together and then be at the same hotel together. And then at the same event, obviously. So she knew it was a significant amount of time with this other lady. So her question was, can you please ask your supervisor to give you a different assignment? And he just did not hear this, as you're saying, he did not hear this concern as a concern. He heard it as nagging,
mm-hmm.
and as it was just an argument, it was a bother to him. And he would just yell back, well, you're being ridiculous and you're worried for nothing. This is my job. I need to do this. I just need to do my job. So, I mean, that's, I guess, mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers.
So, okay, so he should just have had her and, so you think he should have had her and actually listen to her concerns and actually do something mm-hmm. about it, like maybe not go for that trip or mm-hmm. change, do you think changing jobs or what, like what you think is more appropriate in that situation? Should he change jobs? Should he change assignment?
I think as upset as she was, and again, we can just put ourselves in her shoes. I mean, if you're at home
mm-hmm.
and your spouse is in another city,
yes,
with a brand new coworker that you barely know, and you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe because of the way they look, or maybe because of the way they act.
Or maybe it reminds you of something.
Yeah, or maybe it reminds you of something else. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever the issue is, just imagine, you know, you feel like, okay, I'm so far away, I'm at home, we only get to talk on the phone a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I barely know this other person. I don't know if I can trust that person
yes.
around my spouse. And I can definitely say this, that as a caring husband, he really was obligated to go ahead and change his assignment. Not because there was a risk, but just because it made her uncomfortable.
And what about the finances? Because maybe the fact that she was a stay-at-home mom, and that was the only income. Do you think that there was also some financial issues that I don't know. I'm just trying to just throw different ideas.
I'm sure there's always something. There's always an issue. There's always a reason not to do it. But I really do feel as though if your spouse is uncomfortable about something, it's your responsibility to make sure that the problem is resolved.
Okay. Even if it means basically
making a change.
Yeah, even if it means ultimately making a change.
Yeah.
Because I think if the roles were reversed and she was the one flying out of town. If she was the one flying out of town and he was maybe staying in town, not a stay-at-home husband, but just staying in town. Mm-hmm. But that's not even the issue. The issue is if he had the same concerns.
Right. He would want to be listened to.
Yes.
Yeah.
He would want to be listened to. And at the same time, he would really want things to change.
Mm-hmm.
Just to reduce some of his concerns. Yes. So, if the roles were reversed, I'm sure he would also want some action to be taken care of.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't like it either. So.
No. So.
So the third thing is get support. And we're mostly talking about just try to seek wisdom from older couples who have been together for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's always advice everywhere we go.
Yeah.
A ton of advice. There's never a shortage of advice.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it's coming from. And so we would just like to encourage, seek guidance from someone who's actually been through it.
Yeah.
So it can be a grandparent or just a couple who's been married, at least, I don't know, more than a decade, but I want to say several.
Several decades, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that you might be thinking, okay, well, the world has changed so much since the time that they were young.
But people are the same people.
People still want to be treated with respect.
Yes.
And wives still want to be loved. Husbands still want to be loved. So it's,
Yeah, husband wants to be loved and respected,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
And, people are still, the human needs are still pretty much the same. The world has changed and the world is getting more complicated, but humans are still having some of the same needs.
Absolutely. So, folks, just as a recap, we had three tips for you today on things that you can do if you feel like your marriage is in trouble. So the first one was take action, and a lot of it.
A lot of it.
The second thing was ask why your spouse is upset. And number three was get support.
Okay.
Seek wisdom.
Seek wisdom, get support, and also be careful where you're getting your advice from, because not all advice is meant to keep you in your marriage. Some advice is actually meant to weaken the bonds that you have in your marriage. And eventually to help make you have a divorce. Folks, don't forget to subscribe to the Live Your Best Marriage in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, we will have another podcast. Bye and God bless.
Are you tired of being upset, lonely, feeling empty, or just plain frustrated with your marriage? And no matter how hard you try, you're not getting anywhere, just going in circles. No matter how much you try to make time for one another in your schedule, or how many times you say, I'm sorry, Pesa and I have put together 99 ideas to help you connect with that one special person so that things can start to be more like the way they were before everyday life got in the way and caused the two of you to drift apart. We want you to have 99 ways to show love to your spouse absolutely free. You can find it at 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com. Because here at Live Your Best Marriage, we truly hope that the two of you can move closer together and enjoy the connection that comes from achieving a stronger bond. Again, that's 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com. That's the number 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com.